You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Wednesday, beautiful Wednesday here in East Tennessee, live from the new White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Oh boy, do we have a program lined up for you here this afternoon. In hour number two, our old friend Jordan Dejani of CBS Sports is going to stop by and talk to us about the NFL Draft, which kicks off tomorrow in Detroit Rock City. And then in hour number three, Drew Beam is scheduled to join us if he can get out of practice on time. And remember, this happened a couple of weeks ago. We were supposed to talk to Drew after practice, and then practice ran long. Tony's evidently taking out some sort of vendetta against The Drive.
I don't
believe
that.
Beefing with Vitello. And it didn't happen. So I don't really know what a starting pitcher has to do during practice. It's not like he's taking BP or fielding grounders or anything, but I guess it wouldn't be good luck for the team leader to...
He's our number one.
Yeah, go do an interview, guys.
Are you suggesting to Tony Vitello how to run a practice?
Not at all.
That might be part of it.
You've already kind of...
I'm just here to ask questions, really.
You've kind of already insinuated that you knew...
That would be a good question for Beam. Hey! Midday practice during the week. What do you do?
That is what actually when I was just coming up with some questions here before the show. I was like, what is it? What you say that you do here, Drew?
What do you do here?
So looking forward to that. Hopefully it works out. And yeah, we got a lot of other stuff to get into here as well. If you want to jump on 865-288-3131, your number to get on the program here this afternoon as we go to the Fan Run breaking news desk right off the top here this afternoon. Oh, I guess it would help if I plug my thing in. Haven't done that. We're going to redneck radio this. Oh, yes. The breaking news desk. Oh, sounded excellent.
I tried to add in some bass for you.
Thank you. Chaz Lanier has entered the NCAA transfer portal. There you go. Move that has been speculated for over a month. Now, really, since J-Mo brought Chaz Lanier's name to our attention on this program while the season was still going, we're like, who the hell's Chaz Lanier? What are you talking about? And now we've been talking about him for weeks now as the potential linchpin of this
class
that Rick Barnes is assembling to keep the Tennessee mojo going.
He has been at the top of the Drive's hot board, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, like I said yesterday, I think he's the guy I covet most because it's just shooting, man. It's shooting, shooting, shooting. The guy shot 44% on 7 attempts per game from three-point range last year. One of the very best top five three-point percentages in the country. Can absolutely fill it up. And even if he's not connect, like we're running everything through him, just the presence of a guy on the wing that can rein in threes just opens so much up for everybody else.
And was he not the most efficient player in the country, or was that...
It was him and Dubar were both top five.
Wasn't one and the other four?
Dubar was four.
So. To go back and look
at
that.
Lanier may have been number one.
Perhaps the most efficient player in the country. We like that.
Would be a big get for Tennessee, obviously. And, you know, he's just now going into the portal. He's been going through the draft process. The fact that he announces that he's going into the portal would suggest that he's probably not going into the draft.
Yeah.
And the tea leaves have been there for some time because he's a Nashville native. He went to Ensworth. This would be his fifth year. So another veteran guy, older guy that's been in college basketball for a long time. He was at North Florida for 4 years. And it's really one of the more bizarre transformations and trajectories that we've seen in college basketball. And perhaps this is why some people are a little bit of a, I don't know if it's asterisk, but just a question mark around what he would be in the SEC, but played in 10 games his freshman year in 2021, averaged 1.7 points per game. So, you know, negligible. Next year, yeah, 21 minutes per game in the sophomore season, 4.5 points per game. 23, averages, again, 20 minutes a game, 4.7 points per game. So, through his first 3 years, he is a completely non-illustrious guy. And then this past season, he just exploded. He's into the starting lineup. He's playing 33 minutes a game. He's averaging 19.7. We'll go and round up to 20.
Sure, why not?
And shooting the aforementioned eye-popping stat, 44% from three-point range. Just fantastic numbers for a shooting guard, 6'4", 200 pounds. And there wouldn't be all this buzz around Tennessee and Chaz Lanier, I don't think, if there hadn't been. Some might call it tampering. We'll say back-channel communications amongst Tennessee and Chaz Lanier. So this would be a big one. I would go ahead and pencil him into my starting lineup. And now you go at you get into this conversation, right, where it's can we money ball together a Dalton Connect on this new team? And you're looking at Ziegler, Lanier, and Dubar. And Lanier and Dubar in particular, maybe Milicic, is he going to start at the stretch four? Does he give you more offense than Triple J did? We'll see. But if he can, and Dubar, and I think Lanier hopefully gives you more than Vescovi did, then all of a sudden those guys should potentially be able to replace the production that Dalton Connect leaves behind.
Sure.
Real quick, before that part, I will say this. Lanier has been on the tip of our tongue for a long time. He was one of the first names I think mentioned when we started talking to the portal. You feel like Tennessee's in a good position. However, the fact that he has been discoverable for this long, it does make me a little bit nervous that we may not have as easy of a fight for him as we would have had it been a clean, no NBA draft stuff, I'm just going straight into the portal. Oh, I like Tennessee. Back channel communication, as you may have mentioned. I hope there's no weasels trying to get in now and that we have to kind of battle some folks off. That's all.
Could be. Fair enough point. But maybe this plays into the NIL conversation we've been having, and you know, how robust and strong is Tennessee's NIL. And yeah, I mean, you raise a good point. If I were Mark Pope or Calipari or anybody else trying to put together a roster in desperate need of players, and I had a significant NIL war chest, I'd probably be beating down Chaz Lanier's door too. Boy, now you got me all scared. I'm just kind of
cutthroat business now,
considering
Russell.
This one a bird in hand.
Well, when you said that, I was like, that makes me scared. So now I had to play the voice of reason out in my head, and I just thought, I can bring that to the air.
Is there
everybody.
Any news on Tyson?
It's funny, Chase just tweeted at us, don't you think we would rather take Tyson over Lanier? Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think you'd want them both. We want as many good players as we possibly can. But it just seems, again, it feels like there's been a lot of Lanier smoke since before the season even ended, which would indicate, you know, some level of communication between his camp and Tennessee's camp that, hey, maybe this is a place he would like to go play. Gets to come back closer to home. He's, you know, a three-hour drive from Nashville now, getting to play for the legendary Rick Barnes, who just took a guy and put him in the NBA draft lottery. I mean, what's not to love here if you're Chaz Lanier? Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
question answers Tyson, itself.
Tyson or Lanier. I mean, if you're a guy who's got designs on – you've got 1 year left to get yourself ready for professional basketball, whether it be the NBA or at a high level over in Europe or whatever. I feel like Barnes now between Connect and, you know, the one thing we keep hearing about these guys that come in, they want to be coached hard.
I'm not saying I give him a pass. Tyson feels a little bit different if it's North Carolina, since that's where he's from. But I think if you put it on the table, what each school is offering, yeah, I think we compare very well with anybody that's going to come and try to get in the fight with these two.
All indications are the Okpara visit is going very well. and maybe even some NIL negotiations already begun there. So that feels good. I've not heard any bad news on Miličić. The waiting game continues there, but certainly feels like that one is orange shaded, shall we say.
Crystal balling it.
Doesn't he have two now? Or is that somebody else? No, maybe it was Tyson to North Carolina has two. I feel – I was a little bit nervous when you brought up Lanier. I feel pretty good about Miličić if we end up making him a take. Which at this point I assume we would. Just that feels – that one feels like it might be Tennessee's decision at this point. And I don't know what the official status with the program and Tobey Awaka would be, but – I guess maybe that's the only way is if Awaka says, well, what was it the Southern Cal players said yesterday? I was tripping. I'm back.
Was that a direct quote?
It was in his – I think that's what he posted on Twitter.
I was tripping.
I was tripping. Hashtag committed. 1 year at UCLA, then back to Southern Cal. If Awaka put out something like that, maybe you think, okay, yeah, we'll give you a shot. But, yeah, this one feels like it's Tennessee's choice.
I do like the deal like Costanza where he quit and then he just showed up for work the next day.
What, that? You thought I was serious?
You thought I was going in the portal, coach? Really? No.
Side note, did you know that scene from Seinfeld where George quits and then just Kramer tells him just go back and pretend like nothing happened. He goes back Monday and they're like, what are you doing here? That was actually from Larry David. Like, he actually did that at a job.
It wasn't just a job. It was a Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he quit and stormed off and then immediately regretted it. And
showed up and Lorne Michaels walked in.
I'm just going to go back and pretend like I didn't do that or I wasn't serious.
You thought I – No.
You thought
– Yeah, actually, I did.
It was heat of the moment. Good song, Tucker. Look it up.
I've heard it.
Okay.
Who does heat of the moment?
Asia.
Oh.
Can you name the other bands?
What are the rock supergroups? Contingents there. Maybe my favorite guitar player.
That I cannot.
That guy reminds me a little bit of the dude from Boss. Tom Schultz?
Steve Howe from Rush, from Yes, is in Asia. Was Trevor Rabin in that as well?
I can't remember. They were really good when they came out. 12-year-old Bear had that cranked.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Heat of the moment. Open your eyes. Freddie Buckets off to Penn State.
Enjoy the cold.
And DJ Jefferson has found a new home. He is headed off to Longwood.
He's going to go be a Lancer over there.
By the way, just get this out of the way. I see this in my notes. The Derek Dooley Group of Five proposal, I was completely – I don't know if my brain was fried. That was the third hour or something. But I was thinking when you were reading that story that you were saying that it was a college football playoff proposal and that he was wanting to redo D1 and everything. And
it's just Group of Fives.
It wasn't until I got home last night. I'm reading the story. I was like, oh, man. What an idiot. I had another idiot move yesterday.
What an idiot.
And today.
You've had a lot lately.
Yeah, no. I showed up today without my bag, without my laptop and all the important stuff.
I give you a lot of credit because you knew it before you walked in. But you walked in, said it out loud, and then about-faced and went back to get it. You could have just got back in the car.
Just quietly.
And just, you know,
hope nobody looked out the window.
Put it in neutral.
I saw Russell just pull up, and then he turned around and left.
No, somebody else. Must have wrong address. I don't know. But, no, he came in. He admitted it like a man and then left for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. But now he's back.
It would have sucked if it was at the old White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios.
Oh, you'd have been toast.
Get back on the interstate and go back through
the pond. Would you even have enough time?
Thing. I think I would have.
Right at it?
I would have been, yeah.
You wouldn't have walked all the way into that station. You'd have just left immediately. Gone back.
Well, all's well that ends well, I suppose. We are here. We are loaded. We are ready to roll. We'll open up the phone lines at 865-288-3131. If you want to jump in, now's a good time to do it. Guests coming up in hours two and three today. So 288-3131, go ahead and take a shot. When we continue, Reggie Bush gets his Heisman
about
back.
Time.
And Texas A&M going, they're breaking out. It's like the we talked about the guy in Argentina taking a chainsaw to the budget. Down there, yes, that guy is the new A&M athletics director. Is doing the same thing, just going in there with a flamethrower, just firing people.
Travis?
You got a $70 million buyout that he inherits. Somebody's got to pay for that. It ain't going to be those deranged milkmen on the sideline. You got to fire people with jobs. Quick timeout. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. North Carolina's not really any good anymore in basketball. That was the other one I had yesterday that I've been beating myself up over.
Oh, the, well,
were they even any good last year? He hasn't been very good.
Number one seed in the West.
But, no, the Dooley thing, like when I went and read that, I was like, wait a minute, that's really cool. I would definitely watch a group of five only college football tournament. Can you imagine the gambling on that thing?
It'd be a lot.
That would be fun. And I think people would watch that. I think people would tune in to see, like, I mean, who would be Memphis, Cincinnati, or I guess technically they're in the Big 12 now. But
right.
Whoever, Liberty.
Tulane.
Yeah, schools like that. The MAC and the American Athletic Conference schools.
Liberty, Tulane. I mean, hell, we play at least two of them a year, don't we? There were some other ones.
I mean,
we dodged them.
No, yeah, I don't think anybody. I don't think any SEC schools are wanting to play.
That's
them
their problem. That's why they. That's why they're trying to get more money. Is because they want to schedule home and homes, and everyone's like, uh-uh.
It was like
I'm not.
Schools,
I'm not going there.
Like Miami of Ohio and.
Yeah, no, I think people would watch that though if you package it right, put it on the right nights and all that stuff.
I mean, people watch Maction on what Tuesday? Is it
yeah,
Tuesday
Tuesdays
night?
And Wednesdays?
Tuesday night Maction. I'm sure they'd watch a playoff.
Go to the phones. Stevie is up first today. What's up, Stevie? Try that again. Let's go to the phones. Stevie is up first today. What's up, Stevie?
Oh.
Stevie!
What it do, baby?
What's going on, brother? Let's make it weird.
Just watching we just watched a little football from across the pond.
Oh, yeah? Who's playing?
Manchester United, my club of choice, and Sheffield.
You throw the records out the window when those two get together. I've always said that.
I am there, and I regret it every day that I chose this club. Bear, did you watch the NASCAR race?
Yes. Most of
it. How about that finish?
It was pretty wild, Stevie.
It was very wild. Did you think McDowell was a little too much? Like he was a little too aggressive in defending his line?
Well, typically going from the top to the bottom multiple times while driving 200 miles an hour, bad things tend to happen.
Stevie, did somebody from the competition from State Run put you up to this? Did somebody say, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call Fan Run Radio, and I want you to lead off your call with English Premier League talk and then swiftly transition into NASCAR. I want you to do your best to completely run off whatever audience they might have accumulated. Did somebody put you up to this?
Russell, you think I've talked to those clowns at State Run?
Oh!
Anyway, now I forgot the sports take that I was going to have today. Something about the baseball team. Oh,
well, you got to write this stuff down.
The baseball team gives me a lot of LSU vibes from last year. Really strong hitting and uneasy pitching. Can our hitting get us through in Omaha?
I mean, it seemed to work for LSU last year if those are the vibes you're picking up.
They also had Skeens, which was a bit of a cheat code. But if we get – A.J. Russell back, and he's improved. Then you add some, you know, depth. Everybody just kind of slides back a spot.
I mean, they were able to pitch Skeens how many times in the
– gosh, was it
– three times?
Was it like
three?
Some ungodly amount.
I don't – we don't have anybody on our roster, it looks like, Skeens anymore.
No one has.
You don't think he was using steroids?
Yes.
Yes, massive
no way
truckloads of them. He was bathing in it.
Who, Paul Skeens?
I mean, the pictures
Hell
of
yeah.
the... Yeah.
This is reckless.
The acne, the speed, the muckles.
Correlation does not equal causation, my friend.
Dude, his eyelids had were like rippled with like veins.
Zion moved to Louisiana and gained 100 pounds. That dude lost 50 and just got shredded.
Kind of weird.
Just saying.
But I'm not pointing any fingers.
No, they were still the best team. Like, even if he was
well, no,
mediocre.
I just assume that everybody's doing something.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they would have been the best team without Skeens. I don't think they win that World Series without him.
I still they,
you
I think
so. No,
I think they were. They were the best offense when everybody was cooking.
Did anybody see that dude at LSU take that ball off the dome last night?
That was great. It was sad, but then
off Tommy Tanks, yeah.
But then he talked about it afterwards, and you didn't feel quite as bad.
Oh, you got.
I don't know, dude. He got drilled, dude.
He might have been very concussed in that conversation.
Houston, are you a Titans fan?
Yes. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a diehard.
Oh. So who are we going to draft?
Who are we going to get?
Who are we going to get?
Joe Alt.
Yeah, it feels like although there has been a lot of talk last night and today that they may want to trade back, acquire picks, because apparently there's not as much separation between the top, say, 5 to 6 tackles as there normally are. Like, the top end isn't as high, but once you get to 5 and 6, they're not as low as they are on a given year.
We don't need to fool around with this. Take the absolute safest, best upside, highest ceiling guy, and that's Alt.
I don't disagree. That's why it just makes me a little nervous.
I don't know about trading down to where you're getting the 5th or 6th tackle, but if you trade down to 12 or 13 and
right,
you take
right.
Shanu and you're able to acquire some more picks there, then I could see that.
Also, some talk about getting another receiver, maybe a Dunze.
Nabbers?
Yeah, Nabbers is
– A Dunze from Washington?
Yeah. They say he's not quite the flyer that like Nabbers is or some of these other guys, but that he might have the biggest potential to step in and be ready to go. Well, they got Calvin Ridley, and obviously they got Hopkins coming back. But, yeah, another solid guy.
I love that sign. I love the Calvin Ridley signing, guys. I love it.
Who's going to be your deep threat, you know, your backbreaker on that? Ridley?
Yeah. I mean,
he still got those kind of wheels?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He took a year off. I mean, forced. But.
I guess I'll be fine. I don't know, but as long as it's either Alt or is it Fashanu?
Fashanu, I believe Fashanu. Is how you pronounce it.
Bear will definitely remember that, Tucker.
Shut up, Russell.
Hey, Russell.
See what I'm saying? I mean, as long as you get one of those guys, I think I'd be good. That would be cool if you could pick up an extra pick and end up with Fashanu. Huh.
Russ, do you want to go to the Cubs-Braves game with me on May 13th?
Did you say Kress or Russ?
Russ.
He ain't inviting Kress anywhere.
Come on, Russ. You didn't have to, like, double down. Of course it was you. It's always you.
Hey.
You can stop by Chattanooga. I'll drive you down to Atlanta.
When is it?
May 13th, 7:20.
Send me a DM or something, and we'll work this out if possible. Yes, I would like to go.
Wait, are you serious?
Was that an invitation? Was that like
you got tickets?
You were asking me if I wanted to go, anticipating that I would say no, and now you're certainly regretting asking me because it might be awkward because we don't know each other that well. Now we're looking at the prospect of spending a good 5 or 6 hours together when you include travel time.
Could be the best 5 hours we've ever had, Russell. Now I'm kind of freaking out. Is this going to happen?
It'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
Stevie's tingling.
Maybe Geraldo can join us.
Send me the DM. Do you actually have tickets? Because this has been a recurring theme here lately. I have to check that and just clarify.
I mean, I can buy tickets, Russell. It's not a big deal. I'll buy the tickets. I mean, if you want to do this, Russell, we'll do this.
Can
I'll invite Geraldo.
Can I bring Bear? Can I bring somebody else I know so
of
that it's
course.
A little bit less weird?
Bring Houston. Bring Tucker. Bring Bear.
The whole group. Go
yeah,
catch a Braves game.
I'm serious. Yeah.
I'm not road tripping to see the Braves. I'm going to save my money for Yankee Stadium this summer.
Listen, I'll even cook a brisket. We can eat it on the way.
What are you going to, like, hand out little chunks of foil or something? We're just eating hands on the way down there?
No, he's going to – you get Bucky's barbecue on a road trip.
Yeah.
You're a big car eater.
How dare you?
No, that's what I'm saying. Now you get
tasting my meat, but no way. Bucky's is nothing compared to my meat.
I was just explaining that barbecue can be eaten in the car.
Mm-hmm. Many things can be eaten in the
car. Listen, a drive, Stevie, little, I don't want to call it a date. That's a little weird.
Yeah,
that's a little weird.
That'd be the least weird thing about the past 5 minutes of this conversation, Stevie.
All right, on my way out, Russell, let's sing it together. And now I'm thanking you for just knowing what a pro wants, what a pro needs, whatever makes me happy, sets me free.
He knows the whole song.
He did it just for you.
So bad, man. Is that the worst thing in American life now, that commercial?
It's bad.
Who likes that?
I haven't even seen it.
Is that getting business for anybody?
Who is it for? Remember the company?
AT&T, if I'm not mistaken.
It worked on Tucker. He's switching his cell service as we speak.
No, I'm sticking to Verizon. Gosh, what's the other one? That iPhone commercial, the dude sitting on the couch with the dog, and he's looking at all those photos he wants to delete.
They're singing at him. Yeah, that's pretty bad. But it doesn't hold a candle of cringiness to the what a pro wants. That is so awful.
You want bad rap or you want crappy auto-tune, I guess is the question.
Who are the players, by the way?
Chet Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's Chet Holmgren?
Yeah, he's put on weight and he's grown a beard.
I didn't recognize him out of a basketball uniform. He looks like one of these Eastern European Croatian dudes.
Very much fits the Mark Few Gonzaga mold.
So I'm watching... I tuned in a little bit to the NBA last night just to check it out. I'm watching the T-Wolves and the Suns. The T-Wolves win. And the first NBA I've watched this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it always takes me a while to get it because the game is, it just looks so different. It's just so different from the college game, man. And I got to say, I know that NBA proponents will say, well, you know, it's the athleticism and the skill level is so different and, okay, it's true. The guys are bigger, stronger, faster, better shot makers, all that stuff. But the thing that always takes me a while to get used to, aside from the fact that they don't call traveling, is just how unaesthetically pleasing the game is. It's so much two-man stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Every possession in the playoffs, there are six guys standing around the court doing nothing. not even like ready to receive the ball or playing. They're just standing there, man, just chilling.
No, it's not like the old days, man.
And you don't see that in the college game, man.
No.
Can you imagine?
Well, there's a lot more five-man action, to your point.
Yeah. Can you imagine a guy in Rick Barnes, even when we run a lot of two-man stuff with Dalton Connect and Adu this year.
Sure, sure.
But can you imagine like Viscovi, Mayshak standing in the corners, just hands on their hips, just kind of like, you know, knees locked, just totally uninterested, uninvolved in what's happening. And the shot clock is shorter, you know, so like the possessions go faster, and yet these guys are just out there doing nothing. And to me, it's such a bad look to that game. It makes it hard. And I'm sure I will get into it as we windle our way through the playoffs and whittle away a couple of teams and stuff like that. But it's hard, man. It's a hard re-entry for me to the NBA every year.
Late in quarters, late in halves, you get 3 to 4 minute spurts where you're like, okay, this is why it's the best product. But it's also, it just feels like there's 6 minutes a quarter of pickup ball. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't interest me nearly as much as the college game.
It also reminded me of a quote that has stuck with me for 20 years plus now since I read it back in the day from Jerry West. And he was talking, because these problems have with the NBA and watchability have been going on for a long time. And Jerry West said in the early 2000s, the problem he sees with the league is it went from a polished league to a teaching league.
Mm.
Where in the 80s and 90s, to get in the NBA, you had to be a great player. You know, Allen Houston stays in college for 4 years. Jamal Mashburn is at Kentucky for however long he was at Kentucky. You know, there's, you don't get – the NBA doesn't draft you because you might be good in a right. couple of years. Yeah, they expect you to improve, but they draft you because you're a good player and you're going to come in and plug a role immediately. And NBA lost that a long time ago. Now they will draft guys, 18-year-olds out of Europe, who are like, yeah, this guy might pan out here in about 4 years. They don't care if he doesn't. It's just, we're going to roll the dice. And you've got teams full of players like that.
I think that hurts them a lot, too. Until those players become stars, there's just not as much familiarity as you're just watching any particular yeah. game in the league. I don't know. I don't want to say it's a lack of star power, because there are stars, but we just don't know them until they become a star in the NBA, whereas you knew all those guys, like you said, because you watched them for 4 years in college or 3 years. Like, they're, you just get to know players, and I think it helps transition to the next level as a fan, as a viewer.
Now, here's the interesting thing. The shift we're seeing in the college game now, yes, it's harder for fans to follow a player because mm-hmm. you don't get to know Allen Houston for 4 years, and you don't get to watch Jamal Mashburn at Kentucky for multiple years or whatever. But
plus it is a portal.
It is changing, because look at what we're seeing with Tennessee right now and the de-emphasis. We signed a 4-star this year, top 100 player named Bishop Boswell. Nobody cares. He's going to be hopefully a role player at best on next year's team. Yeah, hopefully he sticks around and becomes a nice player in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But what are we freaking out about now? You're bringing in Rick Barnes, and I think they love this. I think this has been re-energizing to Barnes, and it just depends on how you look at it as a college coach. But now these guys have the opportunity to, instead of recruiting unpolished 17-year-olds who are projects, you've got to mold them in your image and coach them up. Now all of a sudden – you're looking at Chaz Lanier, a guy's played 4 years of college basketball. He's pretty polished, man. You know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Plug him and play him. Dubar has been is he a 4-year guy? He's played 4 years as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got 1 year, I think, doesn't he?
Cade Tyson has played 2 years. Like, he's a young player
right.
in all of this. So it's an opportunity to remake your college roster with just a completely different profile player. Now,
fully matured the guys.
The downside of this is the opportunity is not there for all these college players that were not top 100 players, but were still finding SEC rosters. But you're not finding that anymore. Mm. Like, those guys have to go to Hofstra or a Valley school or something like that. But then, if they can show that they can play at that level, guess what?
Pluck.
Then the SEC and the ACC, Big Ten schools, are coming in to get them. And we've just turned it into a farm system for the bigger college leagues. It's really strange. It's really strange how you're basically using recruiting now at the mid-major level and a little bit at the high-major level. There's a coaching change.
There's some poaching that goes
on. You have an ADU situation or something like that. Somebody just, just want to leave. But I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time in the future talking about high school recruiting.
No, you
basketball.
Just said it. It's Boswell. That's it, right?
Unless there's just, you know, your best, maybe your best high school recruit, your 4-star, 5-star.
Right. But that's what Kentucky told Cal. Yeah. Like, you're going to have to do it differently. He said, nope, this is how I do it. I'm going to go try to do it at Arkansas.
Well, look what happened to Duke. You know, Duke is bringing in this amazing class full of 5-stars next year. All their players who were scheduled to come back next year left.
So your culture, I mean, you have no culture.
I think that has something to do with, in my opinion, older guys who have earned it, seeing a lot of NIL dollars go into freshmen who have proven nothing.
Yeah.
I think that starts as a seed, and then it just grows and grows and grows until maybe at the end of the year, like, wait a minute.
Well, that was always the thing that Barnes was kind of vocal about. Sure. He pretty much said it. Why should this guy who's never played a minute of college basketball be getting more than these guys?
It's certainly demanding more in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of North Carolina, who's not very good at basketball anymore, how about R.J. Davis coming back for a fifth season?
I missed this. Really?
Does that help us with Tyson?
I think it helps them with Tyson. Because you get to play with an All-American. Returning All-American point guard.
Hmm. Yeah, this should be the last year of the COVID years.
I don't know. I don't know if it hurts or them or us or whatever. It might not have any impact, but
that 2025 is the last.
If you're North Carolina and you get him coming back, that's got to be a huge boost.
Yeah.
Well, for sure.
Like be us getting Kinect back for another year. Can you imagine? Whew.
How?
He's 22 years old.
Why is he coming back?
He'll be 23 by the time next season tips off.
I mean, he hasn't got much left to prove.
That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised.
His NBA profile must not translate.
Maybe he really can make more at North Carolina than wherever he might end up in the NBA in the first year. Wild.
What if he does that thing where he doesn't go pro soon enough and then it's just a downward spiral after
What these NBA teams, they look at guys who have been in college for 4 or 5 years and say, well, what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't he come out after a year or two?
NIL deal from North, go ahead and get you guaranteed because it's a pretty nice nest egg you could build up just playing in North Carolina.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. More of your phone calls coming up after the break. Back with more right after this. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio, cruising with you. Shout out to the 37 Club doing the thing on Discord. Some good prizes coming up for the 37 Club around Fan Run Night at Smokey's Park next month. I'm sure they'll all be very happy, very pleased with what they get.
It's primo swag.
And they get access to the Fan Run Mailbag podcast featuring different Fan Run personalities, which I have not been invited to appear on yet.
I'm sure you'll be soon. I did one last week with
you and Marcus
Young.
Right?
I had a lot of fun.
You guys bury the hatchet and
me and Marcus had a good time at the Fan Run Open because, you know, it's me and Marcus frequently.
You've united over your shared joy in gigging Jake Miller.
Well, that and we were usually, you know, getting away from everybody and just roaming around the course and we'd meet up. Yeah.
You'd meet up?
Yeah, we'd meet up and
I'd meet you on hole three.
I'd just come across him. We were both just out randomly driving around. We kept running over each other. But yeah, Marcus is a funny guy.
Marcus was our caddy.
He did a great job.
Brilliant caddy.
Only caddy I've ever seen driving a golf cart.
I hung pretty close to our team.
He never left once he found us finally.
Yeah, because I think someone told him to go do something.
Yeah, that he then did by himself with a phone call and didn't let Marcus know.
I'm completely lost now.
You told Marcus to go tell Ryan something, and then when he got to Ryan up the top of the hill, Ryan said, oh, yeah, Bear just called and told me.
Let's get Polish Joe in here next. What's up, Pojo?
Hello, gentlemen. Happy Wednesday.
Hey, what's up, man?
How we doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I tried to get in there to the golf outing, but Jake Miller just went radio and phone silent for 45 hours.
What?
Yep.
You were supposed to be at the Fan Run Open and didn't go?
I was texting him 48 hours before saying, hey, if you need anyone to just fill in, I would love to do it. No response.
Well, I mean, you could have gone to fanrunradio.com and just signed up for it. Come out there and play it. I mean, Miller had a pretty good team around him. I don't think he needed you. No offense.
I just try to support the show.
Aren't you kind?
So, guys, I got a question for you.
Yes.
This station, I know Ryan. Ryan's a great dude. How can it be called Fan Run Radio if one of your fans and supporters say a take and you constantly get flushed with the bye-bye?
Bah. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Pojo. We've got you are not the only listener in our audience. You're not the only caller we have. We got to keep things moving. We got a show to produce. We've got 3 hours. We've given you a couple of minutes. We will continue to give a couple of minutes. If you continue to waste those minutes, well, then that's your decision, and we are not responsible for the consequences you have created for yourself.
If I can't tell you my opinion,
you can. You do. Every time you do, you're going to do it again today. And guess what's going to happen? I don't understand. Why is this a mystery to you? How many times do you have to have this conversation before you decide to start a new one?
I'm just saying, you know.
Rick Barnes sucks. You want to fire better off.
I can't talk about the great Peyton Manning postseason record, which is 14-13.
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk about the HGH shipments sent to his house.
Oh, you can. You do.
You have.
You have. You continue to. I just don't know why this is fun for you, Pojo. But anyway, I hope that was productive. Joshy Boy is next. What's up, Joshy Boy?
Well, from someone who got flushed that is not going to get flushed, happy Wednesday, fellas.
Isn't it, though?
A little early on the victory lap there, Joshy Boy.
Yeah.
You never know.
You did kind of take a shot at Russ on the way out the door yesterday, my man. Clipboard, really, Joshy Boy?
You mean Monday, Bear?
Was that Monday?
Yeah.
Did you do the cold medicine again?
No.
When are you going to come in here sober? Come on, we need you, man.
I got a name for you guys to look out tomorrow that the Titans might draft. You want to hear it?
All right.
If he's still there,
mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Titans skipped out on offensive line and drafted Malik Nabers from LSU, wide receiver, at 7.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that think that. We're going to get a glimpse into how Callahan and Rand Carthon think about this roster with this pick. My guess is that they play it safe and go with Joe Alt. I would not be surprised if they trade pick and drop back and take Fashanu. I would not be surprised if they take Malik Nabers. But I think that we will know a lot more about their intentions and just how they view Tennessee's offensive line problem, if you consider it a problem, after tomorrow night.
Yeah, Russ, but the offensive line, that's not a sexy pick, you know?
Well, what are we trying to win? A beauty pageant, or are we trying to build a championship caliber NFL football roster?
Thank you.
We're trying to build a Ferrari.
Well, yeah. Ferraris have these massive, massive, like 900,000 horsepower engines that are built around massive racing sized, you know.
You know what, Joshy Boy?
You got to have a left tackle, Joshy Boy. You got to protect our investment.
They also depreciate really, really fast when you buy a new one.
Right.
Mm. Well, the thing about Titans fans and Callahan is new here, Carthon is new-ish, but we've watched 2 seasons consecutively now be sabotaged by left tackle play. And it's not just the entire offensive line, it's that position specifically, blind side of the quarterback, left tackle. And I think for most Titans fans who have watched every game the past 2 years, like, I can't do that again. Please, like, and now you've got an opportunity to get a guy that could man that position for potentially 10 years, and it's just, you're right. It's not sexy, but it's necessary.
But
we can't complete passes to Malik Nabers or DeSean Hopkins or whoever if the quarterback's lying flat on his back.
Russ,
and concussed.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bear.
Well, I mean, it's just – it they're not taking Malik Nabers. I would be stunned.
Yeah. But there's plenty of good offensive linemen in the draft, though, in my opinion, that you can wait on in the second or third round.
Yeah, but you're in a position where you get the pick of the litter and a guy that looks like second-generation NFL offensive lineman could anchor your line for the next 10 years and protect, you know, which Levis has got arm talent. He just
– yeah.
And the Titans have had pretty – I mean, Tannehill was good. They could not protect him.
Couldn't protect him, and his weapons got hurt, yeah.
Again,
yeah.
If they take Nabers, it's not going to – I'm not going to be pissed about it, but you better get – that offensive line, right, because you've got an opportunity to do it. There's no excuses for not having the left side of that offensive line fixed next year. If you choose not to go left tackle in round one, then you've made a decision that you can do that later. It better work out, or I'm going to be pissed.
That's exactly
right.
If you skip Alt, you better hit later because you're telling us that you can do almost better than him? I don't think so.
If we go through this season, Joshy boy, 2024, with substandard left tackle play and Levis gets hurt and we can't throw, we can't protect, Rand Carthon needs to be fired. Because you had a easy chance to fix that and you decided to do something else.
I don't see there's any way Callahan is not going to just vociferously, however you want to describe it, not want the Alt kid. And if you're not going to get Alt, it's got to be the kid from Penn State.
Here's the last thing I'll say on it, Joshy boy. We'll let you finish up. Keep in mind, Tennessee's new offensive line coach is Bill Callahan, Brian Callahan's father, widely regarded as one of the best offensive line coaches in the history of the sport.
Without a doubt.
He's going to have a tremendous amount of influence. You don't think he has his son's ear in this process?
Oh, yeah, and he might be
telling Brian, hey, we can work, go ahead and take your receiver. I can get can find somebody in the second round and make a fine offensive lineman. We don't know. But he will, I'm sure, have a chance to impact this draft with his thoughts as well.
I had two questions out the door. Why do you think Tennessee fans still, even though he does play for the Titans now, why do you still think they hate Will Levis? Do you think it's because
he played for Kentucky? Don't overthink this. He played for Kentucky.
Yeah. No,
that's all it is. But the other question? Go ahead.
Have you guys heard anything about Heupel suspending a Tennessee player? Because I'm just getting word of it now. I don't know if it's true or not.
I'm not. We'll ask the Vol rumor mill when we continue. Thank you, Joshy boy. We'll tease there for hour number two. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Tucker Harlan's top four at four when we continue right after this.